Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're in the best possible place we could be today, which is at the Mississippi Mug in downtown Dubuque, Iowa, in front of a live audience. I think half the people here are going to be caucusing tonight, and the other half are from Illinois and Wisconsin and even Alaska. I met somebody from Alaska. Thank you so much for being here. You've been so warm and gracious, and we're just, I mean, this is heaven to me. I'm in heaven today. It's good. For months, we've talked about the issues that are being discussed in this presidential race. Iraq, health care, race, religion and politics, education, Iran, Pakistan, terrorism, global warming, executive power, hope, greed, immigration, and torture. And today we are here in Dubuque, Iowa, where we're having our own caucus here, and of course the big caucus is tonight. We're at the Mississippi Mug in downtown Dubuque, where they will soon make a presidential preference based on those earlier mentioned issues. And we are here, I gotta tell you this story because it's funny how things happen. We're here because Mary Loney Bichel, who's in the front row audience here, called my program about a month ago and said, you ought to come to Dubuque for the caucus. You can go with me. And I said, yeah, of course we should. And then I said, will you have chocolate cake? I don't know why I said that. But she said, okay. So that sealed the deal. And we do have chocolate cake here today. So it tops off what should be a terrific day. We said yes, and here we are. And we're going to have one heck of a show. We have a lot of people joining us. Our show will be somewhat fluid today because of the nature of the caucuses and the campaigns. There will be candidates who will be calling into our program today. Mayor Tom Barrett has come from Milwaukee. He's going to be with me the first hour to sort of co-host the program. He is a supporter of Obama's, but he said he'll be happy with any of the Democratic candidates. We also have with us the chair of the Dubuque County Republican Party. John Markham is here right now to explain the Republican caucus process to us. We are going to have Mayor Senator Tom Harkin with us momentarily, who is a real great guy, and he'll be here to talk about the importance of Iowa today. You know, I used to think you guys had too much power until I arrived here yesterday, and now you can have all the power you want. You are informed, you are engaged, you're terrific. Also joining us, Senator John Edwards will be calling in, will be speaking with a former chair of the Iowa Democratic Party, who is co-chair of Barack Obama's campaign. We'll have a political reporter for the Dubuque Telegraph Herald with us. We will be speaking with CNN senior political correspondent Candy Crowley. We should be hearing from somebody from the Romney campaign and from the Huckabee campaign. The state coordinator for the Kucinich campaign will be joining us. And former Iowa governor and former presidential candidate, we interviewed him when he was running. It was a brief period of time. Tom Vilsack will be joining us. Joe Biden will also be joining us. So, hey, we got a show. We got a show. And we'll be taking questions from our audience here. We're particularly interested in hearing from caucus goers. And we also have a number of people from Wisconsin here as well. So we welcome all of your participation. We will be taking phone calls from our audience as well. And our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, where we're not, but you might be, it's 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. Senator Tom Harkin will be joining us momentarily to talk about the importance of the Iowa caucus and the differences between the Democrats and the Republicans. Let me introduce John Markham, who is the chair of the Dubuque County Republican Party, to talk about how the Republicans are caucusing tonight. People get a little confused about the system, John. You are doing a different kind of caucusing than the Democrats are. What will people do tonight?
Well, the process is a little different from the Democrat and the Republican side. The Republicans actually do a ballot vote. So people come to the caucus, they're handed a ballot, and they check their presidential preference. And that's the way that we tally our vote for the caucus.
Why do you do it differently than the Democrats do? Why is there a difference?
I have no idea. Just the way it is, I guess. I don't know.
Just the way it is. Yeah. Would you prefer a system where people get together and try to persuade each other?
No, I wouldn't. I kind of like the You know, I think it takes the peer pressure out of the process if you have a ballot that you mark, and I mean, that's just my personal preference.
Right. And tell me about the number of candidates you've had a chance to interact with. I'm amazed how many people in this audience have seen candidates, candidates' wives, spokespersons for candidates again and again. Have you had that opportunity?
Oh, absolutely. It really is amazing, the opportunity that we're given. And I don't know if people take it for granted or not, but, you know, for example, last night I had dinner with Denny Hastert, the former Speaker of the House. The other day, Senator John McCain was in town. I picked him up at the airport and brought him just he and I and an aide. So it just goes on and on. It really is a great opportunity to see these people one-on-one and kind of get them out of the media element and see who they are as real people.
Yeah. Thanks so much for just keep that seat there. Mayor Tom Barrett has been around politics for a long time. He was a member of the U.S. House of Representatives and in Wisconsin politics for a number of years. And you're here because you're a political junkie, really, aren't you?
I want to congratulate the people from Iowa. You really are in the catbird seat here. This is very, very cool. And what happened with me is I was thinking for a long time of coming down, in part on behalf of Senator Obama, but also in part just as a student of American government and student history. And I think this is history in the making. This is the first time, as I'm sure everybody here knows, since 1952 when both parties are going to be choosing as their candidate someone who has not been in national office before, either a president or a vice president. So it's the first time in my lifetime, and I'm not a young man. So to do that, so I talked to my son and my nephew, and I have to tell this because I heard that Kathleen was coming down, and her son and my son became good friends in Little League. And so they are with her son. Kathleen is on my road trip with my son and my nephew.
Are they here? Are you guys in the audience?
They probably ran out to the car or something. The plan was to come down, and I was going to give them a tutorial on American government and the history of the Iowa caucuses. Instead, Kathleen will know this, they played video games the whole way down. So just so you know, they're normal teenagers. So.
And talked about baseball, I'm sure.
That's right. So it's exciting. And I really, really think, it. And as John was saying, just to have this opportunity to see these candidates up close and personal. And I'll have to say this, and this will be something probably that nobody in the audience can relate to. When we got to our hotel room last night, I could not see enough TV commercials. I wanted to see more,
right,
because we don't have any of these in southeastern Wisconsin, and I wanted to see how the different candidates are presenting themselves on the television. So I'm sure for most people here, they're sick of seeing them, but for me, it was, all right, let's see what they're saying, and on both the Democrat and Republican side, let's see how the issues are being framed, because it just is such an incredible experience in American government.
It sure is.
It's very, very exciting for us humble outsiders to come here and to watch what you're really witness to.
We're a little jealous, too, I think. We really are. Senator Tom Harkin is joining us now. He's chair of the Senate Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee, and he's running for president. He knows what it's like here in Iowa. He'll talk about the importance of the Iowa race, whether or not you have too much clout here in Iowa. Senator Harkin, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, nice. We met him at the Fighting Bob Fest in Wisconsin the year before last, too, which was a terrific time. So we talked about the Republican process here, Senator Harkin. People are still confused, even though we've been focusing on Iowa for so long, about why it is Democrats do what they do tonight. Some people think it's a pretty weird process. Are you excited about the way the Democrats pick the candidate?
Well, I am. There's a kind of a genius, I think, the way this is all developed. First of all, keep in mind that Iowa has never had a primary. We've had a caucus since we've been a state. So this goes back to the 1800s for us, where people would gather and an open outcry, so to speak, declare who they're for. And this has developed into what we now know as the modern Iowa caucus. The genius is, I think, that in the Iowa caucus, you see, most of the people who go to the Iowa caucus will be your party regulars, the Republicans, the Democrats. These are the people that lick the stamps, that make the phone calls, that keep the party structures active and involved. And there ought to be a role for them in helping, in the beginning, to select the candidates of either party. And so that's what the Iowa caucus does. It gives the party organizations and party people a chance to have a say. Now, that's not, I'm not saying 100%, but most of them will be that. Then you go to New Hampshire, where they have a primary and where anyone can vote in the primary. So here in Iowa, we sort of test the candidates up close and personal, their stands on the issues, and how they relate to their two different parties. In New Hampshire, how do they appeal to the broader audience, the broader populace? And I think it's a kind of a genius way of doing it. And plus, they're both small states where, as has been true in the past, someone without a lot of money, but with a good message and who's willing to work very hard, can confound the pundits and bewilder the experts, so to speak.
I was interested in news. I've been watching a lot of news, as Tom said, to watch some of the commercials. I've been interested in those as well. But I was interested in how Iowa has been more accurate than New Hampshire in really predicting the winner of who's going to be the Republican candidate and the nominee and the Democratic nominee. You've been successful 6 out of 8 times since 1972. 6 out of 9 times for the Democrats, 6 out of 8 times for the GOP. So you must be smarter, huh?
I think what happens in Iowa is, and of course you might expect me to say this, my God, I'm in love with my state and my people, but we take this very seriously, both Republicans and Democrats. We take the caucuses very seriously. And people
yes.
really get into the issues, they debate the issues, they discuss them in coffee shops. It's not, in fact, I know many of my friends, Chris Dodd and Joe Biden and Hillary and Brock, all of them I know, obviously, very well. And what will happen is that people will go to one of their meetings, then they'll go to the next candidate, because not that they're so much shopping, but they're trying to figure out who has the best grasp on the issues and who could really take those issues forward as a presidential candidate. So Iowans take their role very, very seriously.
Yes, I can tell just from being here a couple days, these people are informed, which is good. Let me ask both of you, Mayor Barrett and Senator Harkin, about the importance of this. I don't know if it's a media hype, but we're hearing from a lot of people that this is a very important caucus tonight for both the Republicans and the Democrats. For the Democrats, we could see some people maybe drop out of the race after tonight. We could see maybe somebody win who we didn't think was going to win, but that it's going to really define what's going to happen tomorrow.
Well, I clearly think that you're going to have 3 and maybe even 4 on the Democratic side dropping out. And I think on the Republican, you'll see some clearing of the wood as well, because you simply cannot remain sustainable if you don't have a solid showing in Iowa. You have to be in the game in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in the game, then going on to New Hampshire and then Michigan, South Carolina, things are going to start falling very, very quickly now. So this is the first domino, but it is a huge domino. And I think just the attention that's being paid to it, the fact that you've got every national network here, it is being watched so closely, and in particular this year, because I think what the media likes is it loves the horse race, and you've got two great horse races going on in the state right now.
Yeah. Senator Harkin, your thoughts on this, what happens tomorrow as a result of tonight?
Well, I think the congressman, or the mayor now, I should say, is absolutely right that you're going to have some winnowing out, and that's sort of been the function of Iowa and New Hampshire in the past. Not so much that we pick the person, but we winnow out and we narrow the field. And I think that will happen tonight. But here's an interesting scenario, by the way. You know, well, let's face it, Iowa gets hit a lot of times. People from other states are always saying, well, why should Iowa be first? Why shouldn't we be first? And that goes on and on. But there could be a scenario tonight where, let's just take it on the Democratic side, where you could have 3 people very close, 3 or 4 people very close. Then you go into New Hampshire, very close. Then you got Nevada kind of muddled. You got South Carolina. Then you got this Super Tuesday coming up. And after Super Tuesday, it could still be very muddled, which means that the states that are last to go may be the
Wisconsin!
Most important. Actually, may be the most important. Hello?
Yeah, we're here. I was just.
I missed that. I don't know.
We were trying to hope that Wisconsin will play a role in all of this, Senator Harkin.
When's Wisconsin's primary?
It's February 19th. It's funny because she makes it sound like it's like 7 years from now. It's 6 weeks from now.
Yeah.
But in the world of presidential candidates, it might as well be 7 years from now.
Right.
Unless things start breaking in a way that both sides are still competitive.
Right. On the other hand, and let me get John in this as well, if somebody is determined a clear winner tonight in Iowa, what does that do to everything? John?
Well, you know, I'll answer your question indirectly. Now I sound like a politician, but, you know, I found it rather interesting on the Republican side, the different strategies that are being utilized. For example, Giuliani has expended very little effort in the state of Iowa, as well as, I'm told, the state of New Hampshire. On the other end of the spectrum, Romney has put a lot of time, effort, and money into Iowa. So this will be kind of a clear watershed point to see how important are Iowa and New Hampshire in the entire process. At least on the Republican side, it should come forward here.
Mm-hmm. Senator Harkin, what if there's a clear winner tonight by a number of percentage points?
Well, I think if there's a clear winner on either side, I think that's how the press will play it. They'll play it that, and then the press, let's face it, they want a winner and a loser. They don't like muddled things. And so if someone is several points ahead, I think they will declare that person a winner. And I think that will give them a boost going into New Hampshire and beyond. I make the same prediction today that I made 4 years ago, and that is if someone wins both Iowa and New Hampshire, that person will be the nominee of the party.
You agree with that, John, for
I
the
sure
Republicans?
Do. I think that makes all the sense in the world, and that's why it'll change the whole political waterfront if Giuliani comes forward on the Republican side, just because of that. Historically, that's the way it seems to have worked, that whoever wins Iowa and New Hampshire sort of catapults themselves right up through the whole nomination process.
Yeah. Would you agree with that, Tom?
I would agree. Those two, again, the momentum, the media momentum. And what would happen, is particularly if it's someone who's not expected to win, is that candidate, on both the Democrat and Republican side, will get a much closer look in the states. The name identification issue will sort of drift to the side, and they'll get much more scrutiny, both in a positive and a negative way. But I think the positive outweighs that.
Yeah. Can you take one question, Senator Harkin?
Sure.
From the audience?
Sure.
All right, great.
Hi, Tom.
Identify yourself. Hi.
Hi, Tom. Terry Stewart, Butte County Democrat, Chairman.
Hi, Terry.
Just out of curiosity, yeah, Rachel says hi, too, and Judy, too. just out of curiosity, and you don't have to answer, but have you made a personal endorsement in the Democratic race, Tom?
I have not, and I don't intend to do so. I wish them all luck. I know them all, and if I could perhaps speak as a Democrat, I'm very proud of our ticket. I think every single person we have in Iowa contesting, Dodd, Biden, Richardson, Obama, Clinton, Edwards, I could support any one of them for president. I think they're all eminently well qualified, and they all have the experience needed and the expertise to do the job. So I'm not going to endorse anyone.
But you're a man of great influence, Senator Harkin. Why don't you take somebody in your heart, maybe you have a preference.
Hey, Kathleen, let me tell you how much influence I have. Ask President Dean how influential I am.
Point well taken.
4 years ago, I endorsed Dean, and he came in third in Iowa.
Senator, if I could ask you a question. We've seen projections. We've seen projections that this is going to be a huge turnout. And my question for you is, for people who have never gone to a caucus before, will they be welcomed? Or you talked before about how this is something that's important to the party faithful. For the person who is watching this on TV and decides, I want to go to this, what can they expect? And I'm asking that as an outsider here. If I were here, having never gone to one, I wouldn't know how to feel going into it. Can you just give me sort of a glimpse of that so that we can lower the fears and have people come?
Well, I think, and that is another phenomenon happening tonight, that all the polls indicate that something a little bit different than what we've seen in the past. I know the Des Moines Register poll set up to maybe 40% of the people attending the, at least the Democratic
caucuses,
are going to be independents. Well, I don't think it's that high, but even if it's a fourth of that, if 10% of the people attending the caucuses are independents, that is almost a seismic shift. So I would say to someone who's going for the first time, you're going to have a lot of company there.
So you believe that's going to happen, Senator Harkin? You think that that many independents will show up tonight?
Well, I just don't know. I mean, like I said, even if it's only 10%, that is big, where someone will come to the caucus, and, when, and I must say this, when you go to the caucus, all you have to show is where you live. You have to show that you live in that precinct and that you're a registered voter and that you will and that you can register as a Democrat there. I mean, so you can be an independent or Republican. If you want to go to the Democratic caucus, you go there, show you live in the precinct, you sign your form to register, and all you have to do is be 18 by Election Day, and you can participate. And believe me, there will be a lot of, I know for a fact, there's going to be a lot of new first-time people at the caucuses. And it will be explained. It's a very simple process. I mean, it's very friendly. There'll be a little bit of business conducted, and then the party, the precinct chairman, Republican or Democrat, will ask. Well, the Democrats do it differently than the Republicans. The Democrats will say, okay, all of you for Clinton, you go over here to this corner where the sign is. You for Obama, go there. You have to stand for one candidate or another. And that's the first round. That starts at 7 o'clock. Then there is the numbers are calculated. And if your candidate, let's say, doesn't have 15% of the number of people caucusing, then you're not viable. Then there's a second round, and you can go join another group if you want. And that's where it gets very it's kind of fun because...
sounds like fun.
It is, because if you're in a non-viable group, then the viable groups would come over and try to persuade you to join them. Because, you know, my candidate's better, my candidate can win. And a lot of these people know one another. I mean, you know, you're in the same precinct, you're in the same neighborhood. A lot of these people know each other, either from churches or organizations or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a fun event. It's not, there's nothing to be scared about or anything like that. It's just a very fun thing to do.
Yeah, we have a first-time caucus goer who wants to join us in a moment. John.
Well, just back to the thought of the first-time caucus goers. I was at, one of the candidates was in town last week, and there were several hundred people in attendance, and I asked by show of hands how many had never been to a caucus before, and probably about half the room raised their hand. So I'm anticipating we're going to get an awful lot of first-time caucus goers this go-around.
Yeah. All right, let's pause for just a moment and talk with the first-time caucus goer. If you can hold on, Senator Harkin, I hope we can continue with you for just one more question, but first we need to pause, and so we'll do that. We are broadcasting. Oh, we're so happy to be here. We've been thinking about this for so long. We're at the Mississippi Mug in downtown Dubuque, Iowa, with caucus goers joining us, with all kinds of people who are very involved in the political process. We have Wisconsin people here and Illinois people here, and we're having a wonderful time. So we'll be back and talk more and take some of your phone calls as well. 800-486-8655 is the number. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mayor Tom Barrett is with us. He's here as a political junkie and is going on to Dubuque. He has given his support to Senator Barack Obama, but he'll be happy with any of the candidates on the Democratic side. We are learning about the process, the whole caucus process, and we're going to talk with people in our audience. Also coming up this half hour, we'll speak with who all is coming? John Edwards will be here. Senator John Edwards will be calling into our program. We'll also speak with the Iowa co-chair of the Senator Barack Obama campaign. And we got all kinds of stuff going on for the next hour and a half. So I don't know if we said goodbye to Senator Harkin formally, but if he had to go, we kept him a little longer. Senator Harkin, if you're not there anymore, I thank you. Oh, you're still here.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Stay here for. Can you?
Hey,
I'm sorry.
Hey,
I'm keeping you on too long.
Kathleen, I never want to leave Dubuque or Wisconsin.
Yeah, No, I know what you're saying exactly. There's something about this town and about Wisconsin. It's good. It's good. We have a first-time caucus goer who I thought maybe you can help her out through the process here, as can all of our guests. Whitney Hansel is joining us. First time tonight. Are you nervous?
A little bit.
Are you?
I actually changed my party affiliation so that I could caucus for Senator Obama tonight.
Oh, you did? You did. All right, we have some Senator Obama supporters, and we'll speak with the co-chair in a moment. And do you mind if I ask you how old you are?
23.
And was it a long process to decide who you were going to be supporting or not?
Yes, I looked pretty hard at all of the candidates and pretty recently came up with this within the last few weeks, decided on a candidate.
Could you be persuaded to change your mind by tonight?
I don't believe so.
No.
And what put you over the top?
I was really impressed with his health care policy, planning to go into health care myself.
And let me ask everybody here, John and Tom and Senator Harkin and Mayor Barrett, she represents what's supposed to be different about and historical about this campaign. But we've been hearing for years and years, oh, the youth are going to turn out. The youth are going to make this huge difference in presidential elections. And then the youth don't turn out. So what leads some pundits to believe that this is going to be a different year? And I know Senator Obama is counting on people like you to show up tonight. Senator Harkin?
Well, I just think that a lot of young people see this as a really transition time in American politics, that what's happening now both nationally and internationally just isn't right. Things aren't going quite right for our country and the world. And I think they see this because of, I think it was Mayor Barrett said earlier, this is the first time in over half a century, over 50 years, that we haven't had a presidential race where we don't have an incumbent president or vice president running. And so I think a lot of young people see this as a key time for them to kind of make their voices heard, where you don't mm-hmm. have a system set up where you have a vice president or president running that tilts it one way or the other. And I think that's got a lot of young people excited.
Mm-hmm. Do you think a lot of young people will show up tonight, John?
Well, it's a tough call because in past elections, you've thought that they were involved and included and they didn't show up. And I guess tonight we'll just have to wait and see. It certainly sounds like there's more involvement from the young people, but the proof will be tonight at the caucus to see mm-hmm. if they in fact show up.
Mm-hmm. And I think the sort of the rule I always live by was that 20% of the 20-year-olds would be involved, 30% of the 30-year-olds, 40% of the 40-year-olds would get out and vote. And it's there's this correlation in age. I think the challenge here, and we saw this now going back 4 years ago, Howard Dean had tremendous appeal to college students, but was not able to get them there. And as I was talking to someone over the weekend, they said this is going to be the challenge that Senator Obama is going to have, is how do you get all these young people there? I think the difference between 2008 and 2004 is just the level of ground troops that you have now in Iowa that is probably tracking. Somebody probably has a GPS recorder embedded in you so they know where you are. So that if you try to go to a bar or try to go to a library near 6:30, you'll have 14 representatives of one campaign or another descend upon you to make sure you get there. So I think it's that organization. And from what I've been hearing is that all the major candidates have invested so heavily in organization that you will remind the young people. I think the other operative question, though, is the older people with the weather. Now, in Milwaukee,
it's warmer today.
It's 3 degrees cold in Milwaukee right now, but it's still pretty chilly. Whether that's going to have an impact on older people, whether they can get out in the evening. So all these things are part of this human chess game that make this so fascinating as to who's going to actually be there now. Now all the money's been spent on commercials, but who will actually show up is the test now.
Yeah, it sure is. Good luck tonight, Whitney. I'd be interested in hearing from you tomorrow if you're around to come back and tell us what it was like for you. And we do have the co-chair of Senator Barack Obama's campaign, Gordon Fisher, joining us now. Senator Harkin, always a pleasure. Join us for an hour sometime down the road, please. We love talking to you.
Well, same here. And
yeah, Senator Tom Harkin.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. And joining us now is Gordon Fisher, who is the Iowa co-chair of Senator Barack Obama's campaign. Gordon Fisher, hello.
Well, good morning. I small correction with two things. One is thank you to Public Radio, National Public Radio, Wisconsin Public Radio, for the extremely valuable public service you provide. It's just fantastic. And two,
thank you. Happy to do it. Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely. I really do. And I'm a subscriber here to Iowa Public Radio. So I've sort of put my money where my mouth is, so to speak. Second, Tom Harkin is a great American, and just delightful to be here on the phone and to get to hear him talk and speak his progressive truths. What a wonderful asset we have in Tom Harkin. But I'm not actually co-chair of the campaign. I actually have a title that's even higher than co-chair. Let me explain. I happen to have the most exalted, highest title that is possible in politics, and that is volunteer.
All right, good for you.
Which I've always considered to be, again, the best, highest title possible in politics, volunteer.
Good for you. Well said. What do you make of this poll? You're hearing so much about it. There are a lot of polls who are showing that this is a very close race. We had that Des Moines Register poll out a couple of days ago that did show Barack Obama had really taken off in Iowa. Although there's so many factors, it's dependent on how many young people come tonight, how many independents, et cetera. Do you think he's flying right now?
I think he's got, I don't know about flying, that may be overstating, and I wish I could say he was flying, but as a Barack Obama supporter, I think he definitely has the momentum going into the final stretch here, no question about that. But I still think it's essentially a three-way tie, and almost anything could happen. I would love to sit here and tell everybody that, you know, Barack Obama's got this thing won, and, you know, he's going to push on to victory, but I think the reality is that it's a three-way tie. We have six excellent candidates who are working very, very hard with six excellent campaigns, and we have a three-way tie, and as I said, just about anything could happen. Having said that, I think Senator Obama really has poured on the juice here, poured on the energy at the end, and it really has the momentum going into the home stretch.
Mm-hmm. So what are you doing tonight to turn out first-time voters? Is it free food? Is it, chocolate cake? That's how we got people here. I know it's interesting. It takes sometimes a little bit, you know, a little bit of food, a little bit of coffee or something, and people are more likely to show up. What are you offering?
Well, I was sorely, sorely tested this morning because my wife has baked a gigantic, huge batch of chocolate chip cookies, and I was really tempted to dip in, but I knew those were for caucus goers, and I held back. But, I do think that Senator Obama has some unique characteristics that are going to attract first-time caucus goers, young people, independents, Republicans. But I also think that he is doing quite well among traditional Democrats, you know, Democrats that attend the caucus every time, Democratic activists, frankly, like myself. So the way that I like to think of it is the independents, the Republicans, I think there's going to be an increased minority turnout. The young people are icing on the cake, but we're not forgetting to bake the cake. And the cake is your traditional working Iowa family that is concerned about its health care costs, that's concerned about the special interest money that's flooding politics. And, of course, Senator Obama has refused to take PAC money, has refused to take federal lobbyist money, and I think is the only presidential candidate that is not being aided by these 527 organizations. Those are the folks that we're also reaching.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask, this is our time for Senator Obama. John Edwards will be joining us momentarily. Why
sure.
It is that you are supporting him at this point, Mayor Barrett?
I like all the Democrats. I think we've got a very solid field, a very deep field. But what really attracts me to Senator Obama is I really think that he personifies hope and change mm-hmm. in this country. And I think we need that. I think that we, after this long, long Bush era, if you can call it that, that having someone who understands working families. He's someone who has done organizing at the local level. He has worked, I think, in the trenches. And so I don't think that he has been carried away with the fever you get in Washington, D.C. I really don't think he has. I think everybody who meets him can tell how bright he is. All this stuff about experience. Tell me a presidential candidate who's come into that office who's had the experience. There's nobody. And quite honestly, if we were going to do this on experience alone, my friend Bill Richardson would be the one, because he's got the UN experience, he's got the Department of Energy experience. But I don't think the president's job is just about experience. And I don't even think you can say, well, what has this person done as a senator? What has this person done as a governor? I think you really have to look in the person and say, what's this person's potential? Because this job changes that person's life in a way that we can't even imagine here. As I've looked at him and see what he has done, both personally and professionally, I really think he personifies hope and change for this country in a positive way. And that's what excites me so much about him. So it's a lot of time, and I think for many of the people here, the intangibles really do come into play. And when people get a chance to meet people, they say, okay, I trust that person, or I don't trust that person. And it's that type of dynamic that's here. So I can't say, well, it's point 23B of his foreign policy. I think a lot of that stuff gets clouded. I think all the candidates have good judgment. But it's how can you take that, and how can you really take this nation and transform it and renew the hope that I think millions of Americans really feel we need to do, is to renew the hope in this country.
Yeah. Is this a must-win for Senator Obama, Iowa?
No.
Gordon,
Obviously it would be great if he did win, but he has gotten a lot of donors, particularly even small donations, which has added up to a large war chest. So he's going to be able to continue on no matter what. Obviously Iowa has special, unique importance in the nominating process. I think there's going to be a slingshot effect by people who do well in Iowa as we move on to New Hampshire and South Carolina and then some of the other contests. But I wouldn't call it a must-win for Senator Obama, although I do expect him to do well for the reasons that were just so eloquently enumerated. I've always liked the line in Senator Obama's speech where he says, I don't want to be president of the blue states of America. I don't want to be president of the red states of America. I want to be president of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And to me, Senator Obama is the one candidate who can unite the country. He can unite Democrats. He can also bring in independents and Republicans. And just by his demeanor, his character, his heart, I think he can really unify this country, not only to win, but also to govern after he wins.
Is this a must-win, John, on the Republican side? Is this a must-win night for Mike Huckabee?
Well, you know, now there's a good example of a candidate who came out of nowhere.
Right.
And he certainly, I think it will, he's kind of put himself on the national stage now, but a win in Iowa will put him front and center on that national stage. So is it a must-win? I think a one or two finish is important for him. Mm-hmm. To continue his momentum. Yeah.
And alas, I hate to report this, but in Dubuque County, the caucus sites requested and the County Democratic Party agreed that no food would be allowed inside the caucus sites. No food inside the caucus sites.
That's just
want to worry about if they're going to need to clean up after us.
Oh.
And sometimes that we don't do a good job of picking up after ourselves. So
beverages, early.
Yeah, cookies outside in the, you know, outside the building if you want, but no food inside the caucus site. Yeah. So we don't have to worry about offending the places that are gracious enough to allow us to caucus there.
Okay.
Might interject, Terry. We agree on that. We're not going to have food at ours either.
Republicans aren't either. Okay.
Republicans are going to announce that they're serving steak, and people will head over to the Republican caucuses.
That would have been a good strategy.
Yeah, there you
Sean.
Go.
Let's pause for a moment.
40 people in a caucus, and you're feeding them.
Let's pause for a moment, and we'll return. We want to hear from some of the caucus goers here too. Senator John Edwards will be joining us momentarily. That guy's been on no sleep for going on 2 days now, and drawing crowds at 2 or 3 in the morning. all over the state. And I want to hear from some of the caucus goers here. We have a lot of people who are supporting Biden, who are supporting Dodd, and we'd like to hear from some of them because some of them may not make the 15%. Kucinich, yeah, we have several Kucinich supporters here as well. So we'll hear from you, and we hope to hear from Senator Edwards, and we're rolling. We're broadcasting live from the Mississippi Mug in downtown Dubuque, Iowa, with a great audience on this morning before the caucuses. And we also will take, well, I keep forgetting, we got to take a phone call from you as well. Our phone number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 800-486-8655 or in Milwaukee, 414-227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Broadcasting live from the Mississippi Mug in downtown Dubuque, Iowa. I'm Kathleen Dunn. We are just extraordinarily happy to be here. We have a wonderful live audience. And Mayor Tom Barrett is joining us. He came in from Milwaukee. We have John Markham with us, who is the chair of the Dubuque County Republican Party. We've had some Senator Tom Harkin has joined us. Senator John Edwards should be joining us. Unless he's taking a nap. God bless him. He's just been on the road so long. We do have some sad news to report that we just heard from the Barrett people that that former Governor Lee Dreyfus died today of Wisconsin. He was a wonderful man. Talk about a spirit in this country when we had bipartisanship. He represented that, smart and engaged, and we're very sorry to hear of his passing. He was okay. He was, wasn't he, Tom? He was a wonderful man. He was a wonderful man. I'm sorry. And sorry to hear that news. But we all go at some point, you know? So we may as well enjoy history right now, which is what's going on in Dubuque. And he would want it to be just like that. All right, let's hear from somebody who's supporting one of the second-tier candidates tonight, Joe Biden supporter. Grab that mic.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Carol from Guttenberg.
Hi, Carol.
And I'm a Biden supporter. And I don't think Senator Harkin is still with us, but
no.
But I would really, really like to thank him for not endorsing someone this soon in the process. And really, the key word here is Democratic. And I have been disappointed, is putting it mildly. My feelings border on rage with our state paper, the Des Moines Register,
really?
Who has for some time now definitely not kept the playing field level, because they have, there would be a whole page with, I think it was four or five of the other candidates, but not Dennis Kucinich, not Mike Gravel, you know. Their opinion is not even heard because they don't have an office in the state of Iowa. And to me, this democratic process is so important. And I experienced this just in the last week, making phone calls to people who are potential caucus goers or caucus goers. And that includes Whitney, my future daughter-in-law here, will be a caucus goer for the first time. And I really hope that I have not put any pressure on her to go any particular way, because, and I'm happy to hear that she's going for Senator Obama. I'm going for Senator Joe Biden, and that's that. Yes.
Yeah, I see your point on it. There are a lot of very interesting candidates on both sides this year, and there is something about the press that you get rolling with the inevitable front runner, the inevitable top two candidates, et cetera, and everything is focused on that. And there are so many interesting people, and it isn't. You're right. This early in the process, it shouldn't be that way. So why are you for Biden?
Oh, well, because Senator Biden he's one of the people who is the youngest, one of the youngest senators in the history of the United States Senate to become a senator. In fact, he wasn't even 30 years old. And you have to be 30 to be a U.S. senator, and he was 29 when he won the election, but by Inauguration Day, he was 30. But the thing that struck me the most, and I've gotten his book, it's Joe Biden Promises to Keep, and he talks about the Bork nomination by President Reagan back in 1987. And I was so just mesmerized by that, because here we're talking about the Constitution and how things will, at that point, had Judge Robert Bork been put on the Supreme Court, the balance of the Supreme Court would have changed so dramatically, and we would have lost any gains that we had in women's rights, civil rights, and the rights to privacy had Judge Bork gotten in. Mm. But something that really touched my heart when I was reading the book was that Senator Biden, they were ready the day after he was defeated, they were people around Senator Biden were ready to pop the champagne cork and celebrate Judge Bork's defeat. And Senator Biden said, no, I will not do that. Mm-hmm. Celebrate a man's defeat.
Hmm. You're informed. I think he's a great talker. Isn't he? He thinks so well on his feet that, yeah, very charming.
Hi,
yes, sir.
Kathleen, my name's Walt Pregler. I'm secretary of the Democratic Party.
Hey, Walt.
In Dubuque County. And the one thing, there's a humongous bonus that is being garnered by these caucuses, by this process, and I'm sure that John's party gets the same thing, and that is the honest-to-goodness grassroots resolutions that help us construct our party's platform for the upcoming election. We get handwritten notes and resolutions. We get typewritten notes. We get them. They come from the kitchen table directly to the caucus, which go to the platform committee. And there hasn't been enough emphasis on that. You really find out what people are thinking, what they think of their government, what they think of their conditions. And I think that's a point that should be emphasized. And as far as being comfortable at a caucus, I'm sure that Mr. Markham's caucuses are like ours. They're somewhat of a coffee clutch. I've been since 1962 on the Democratic Central Committee. I've gone to a lot of caucuses. I've never seen an argument in our caucus. We've had debate, but we've never had arguments. We've never had a problem. They are fun. You can be comfortable. Come, overwhelm us. This is what this is going to be.
Thank you.
If I could say something,
sure.
Again, part of the reason that I'm here, I've always said that I consider democracy the ultimate participatory sport, that it works only as well as we make it work. And I say we because I think of the framers of the documents that formed our country, and they didn't talk about you, the people, or they, the people. They talked about we, the people. And what we're experiencing here firsthand is we, the people. So in a really apple pie sense, this to me is what democracy is all about. And that's what I find so amazingly exciting about it, is that people do have an opportunity to fashion the debate, yeah, to push the issues, and to do it in an unfiltered manner. So, again, as an outsider coming here, I think Kathy feels the same way, I feel blessed to see this in action. It's that exciting to me.
Yeah, it is to me as well. I don't want to keep saying this over and over, but I will, that there is something about the engagement. Everybody talks politics, and you're also well informed, and here you are at this broadcast, and it's inspirational. It really is. We talk about people dropping out of politics. Here you are, and you're what America ought to be, for heaven's sake. That's right. You're what America ought to be. Let's go to a phone call. We would like to take, you know, a couple people. Let's go to La Crosse. Rick from La Crosse is joining us this morning. Hey, Rick.
I had a question for Senator Edwards.
Yeah, he's not here.
He's not there.
So,
he's
not here yet. He's calling in, but he's a little detained. So, I'm not sure when he'll join us. But go ahead. We'll pass along the question.
Okay. I wanted to know what he would do to rehabilitate the image of the United States abroad, and I can ask that question because I'm from abroad, and so I'm uniquely placed to ask that question, I guess.
Where are you from?
I am from the Federative Republic of Brazil.
From Brazil?
Yes.
Okay.
Is Gordon Fisher. And I'm supporting Senator Obama, and I would just like to say, if I could, that Senator Obama is the candidate who has lived abroad, and probably has had a lot of exposure to other cultures, perhaps more so than some of the other candidates, although I do think we have an excellent slate of Democratic candidates, as has been said over and over. And I wanted to also echo the feeling of, Kathleen, that you expressed so well. There really is magic in these Democratic caucuses. It's amazing that folks, just ordinary folks, working folks, get up and get to have a say in who the next president of the United States is. And for anyone in Dubuque County or anywhere else in Iowa to skip that opportunity would really be a shame.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you. Thanks for the call, Rick. And we'll pass it along to Senator Edwards, who should be joining us in just a little while. We are going to have to pause here for the news coming up from National Public Radio in just a moment, and then we will return. Let me just tell you that we're having a wonderful time. We are broadcasting live from the Mississippi Mug, and it's in downtown Dubuque. We have a live audience here, many of whom will be caucusing tonight here in Dubuque. We also have people who have traveled from Illinois and from Wisconsin, and everybody's engaged in the political process. We're having fun. Senator John Edwards should join us momentarily. Are you on your way? Are you going? You're going. Tom Barrett, thank him for coming all the way to Mississippi Mug to be with us. Thank you. Thank you. And John, what's your story? Can you hang around?
I beg your pardon.
Can you stay around for a little while?
I'll stay for a few moments here.
Thank you. All right. John will be with us still, and we will be speaking with Senator Edwards. The CNN senior political correspondent, Candy Crowley, will be joining us. We will have the state coordinator for the Dennis Kucinich campaign joining us. We should have somebody from the Romney campaign here. We had hoped to have Senator Joe Biden with us. I hope he's able to drop by. I understand he is in Dubuque this morning. So all of that is coming up. And we'll welcome more questions from our audience. First, the latest news. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.